Within the U.S., the monopoly bourgeoisie has successfully carried out a fierce class struggle to exploit and oppress the working class, together with the rest of the people. It has babbled about being against state intervention in the economy, but in fact it has used the state to impose the policy of neoliberal globalization on the economy and society, and to press down wage levels and cut back on social spending. It has used legislation, court decisions, and the law enforcement agencies to attack the trade union and democratic rights of the working class. It has also used the mass media, schools, and other persuasive means to discredit, undermine, and weaken the working class movement. It has exploited and oppressed the working class in bringing about the current grave financial and economic crisis. Now it is raising the level of exploitation and oppression as it invokes the crisis to take more and more public money and blocks the public sector from adopting and implementing a comprehensive economic plan to revive production and generate stable jobs. The contradiction between the U.S. monopoly bourgeoisie and the working class is sharpening as the crisis deepens and worsens. Subjected to rapidly rising levels of unemployment, homelessness, and various forms of social deprivation, the working class is impelled to fight back, assert its democratic rights, reject the inhuman system of capitalism, and aim for socialism. Social discontent is already sweeping the U.S. It is bound to burst out in the form of concerted mass actions to demand jobs and real solutions to the crisis and to protest the outpouring of public money for the bailout of the monopoly banks and firms and for continuing the U.S. wars of aggression and various forms of military intervention. The monopoly bourgeoisie is bound to repress the mass movement and to try deceiving the people about the roots of the crisis with the slogans of chauvinism, racism, anti-terrorism, and war-mongering. But this time, conditions are favorable not only for advancing the progressive mass movement, but also for building the party that aims for socialism. In the other imperialist countries engulfed by the crisis that has spread from its U.S. epicenter, the contradiction between the monopoly bourgeoisie and the working class has sharpened even more dramatically than in the U.S. The ruling parties and coalitions that have closely followed the U.S. instigated policy of neoliberal globalization are now the target of widespread mass actions, including nationwide worker strikes and protest actions by the people in general. The rising sentiment of the people has turned favorable to parties that denounce monopoly capitalism and call for socialism. Karl Marx is gaining popularity. The U.S. is thoroughly discredited as the instigator of a failed global economic policy, as an extremely overborrowing country, as a purveyor of financial toxins, and as an imperialist superpower that is militarily arrogant and aggressive, but running short of financial resources. The IMF has also become ineffective as a U.S. tool because it is practically bankrupt and has to beg for funds from several sources other than the U.S. The conspicuous financial and economic weakening of the U.S. hegemon has emboldened other imperialist powers like Russia, France, and Germany to openly criticize its long-standing dominance and to demand multilateral relations on an equal footing in matters of the economy, finance, trade, and security. Among the imperialist powers, the trend of multipolarization is visibly growing. Contradictions are in fact sharpening and generating a struggle for a redivision of the world. Several other imperialist powers resent the propensity of the U.S. to engage in overborrowing, to have a stranglehold over sources of fossil fuel and other strategic materials, markets and fields of investments, and to monopolize the spoils of free trade, so-called, and wars of aggression. To try solving the financial and economic crisis in their respective countries, the imperialist powers are inclined to pursue the strategy of using temporary jobs and relief measures to stimulate demand, absorb the existing inventory of goods, and ultimately to revive and expand national production that generates stable jobs. The trend is thus set for the intensification of inter-imperialist economic competition and political rivalry. It is too difficult or even impossible for the U.S. to wrest back its unquestioned economic and political dominance as either in the period of 1945 to 1975 or the more recent period of neoliberal globalization. Hearing the slogan of Buy America in connection with the U.S. plan to overcome the current crisis, Europe and Japan, as well as China, the biggest supplier of cheap consumer manufacturers to the U.S., are worried about the drastic reduction of U.S. imports and have expressed fears about the danger of protectionism. China, the top newly emergent market, has been hit hard by the bankruptcy and closure of the export-oriented sweatshops and private construction projects. Social unrest there is growing due to the deteriorating economic situation and rampant bureaucratic corruption. Aside from the drastic fall in demand for its exports, China has expressed its worry about the U.S. in further bloating the bubble in U.S. Treasury bonds and ultimately devaluing the U.S. currency and the U.S. Treasury bonds in order to promote U.S. exports and cut down the U.S. foreign debt. At the same time, China has reduced its imports faster than its exports have fallen, thus still showing a trade surplus. On the other hand, the U.S. is worried about China's economic and diplomatic activities that veer away from the U.S. policy in East Asia, Central Asia, Middle East, and Africa. In the Asia-Pacific region, the Philippines is very much involved in or affected by the policies and activities of the U.S., China, Japan, North and South Korea, ASEAN, and Australia. The peoples and nations oppressed by foreign monopoly capitalism and the local reactionaries in the underdeveloped and retrogressive countries of Asia, Africa, Latin America, and Eastern Europe suffer most from the economic and social devastation wrought by the current financial and economic crisis. The overwhelming majority of them are dependent on raw material exports. Only a few of them export some consumer semi-manufactures and some basic industrial products. The demand for all these exports have abruptly fallen. At the same time, the unprecedented global credit crunch makes it difficult for the underdeveloped countries to cover their chronic accounts deficits, import necessities, and service their accumulated foreign debt. The imperialist countries are repatriating or barring migrant workers and thus reducing the remittances of such workers to their underdeveloped countries. The economies of the underdeveloped countries are far more depressed than ever before. The rate of unemployment is rapidly rising. Incomes of the toiling masses of workers and peasants and the middle social strata are falling. The prices of basic commodities are rising. Social services are deteriorating or dwindling for the working people. The imperialists and the local exploiting classes have become ever more oppressive and exploitative. In most of the underdeveloped countries, the local rulers have become even more servile to the imperialist and exceeded previous levels of corruption and brutality, as in the case of the U.S.-directed Arroyo regime. In certain countries, however, the patriotic and progressive forces and the broad masses of the people motivate and enable the governments to stand for national independence and general welfare against imperialism and the worst reactionaries. The broad masses of the people suffer from the terrible crisis and the escalating levels of oppression and exploitation. They are waging various forms of struggle for national liberation and democracy against the imperialist and the local exploiting classes. Protest mass actions demanding national and social liberation are sweeping entire countries and continents. The people are waging the fiercest forms of resistance against aggression and occupation, as in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Palestine. Armed national liberation movements are growing in strength and advancing in an ever-increasing number of countries. The Maoist parties are exemplary in leading people's wars and winning victories. U.S. imperialism is already anticipating the upsurge of people's resistance on a global scale. Speaking before the U.S. Senate Select Committee on Intelligence last month, the Director of National Intelligence, retired Admiral Dennis Blair, warned that the deepening economic crisis posed the greatest danger to the stability and security of the world capitalist system, and that it could trigger a return to the violent extremism, so-called, of the 1920s and 1930s. Wall Street has brought about the crisis that is pushing state terrorism and imperialist war, as well as inciting the people of the world to wage revolution. I hope that my brief presentation can help you comprehend not only the international situation as such, but also the struggle of the Filipino people for national liberation and democracy in the context of the international situation. The Filipino people in their homeland, as well as the Filipino communities in the U.S. and other foreign countries, are severely affected by the current financial and economic crisis. We in the ICC of the ILPS call and bind USA to intensify its efforts in arousing, organizing, and mobilizing the Filipinos in the U.S. in order to uphold, defend, and promote their rights and interests, and to support the struggle of the people in the motherland for national liberation and democracy. We urge you to contribute to the common struggle of the people of the world against imperialism and reaction, and advance international solidarity, mutual support, and cooperation in fighting for a new and better world of greater freedom, democracy, social justice, all-round development, and peace. Mabuhay ang bayan USA! Isulong ang pakikibaka para sa pambansang kalayaan at demokrasya. Ibagsak ang imperialismong US at rehimeng Arroyo. Mabuhay ang lahat ng kababayan sa US. Mabuhay ang sambayanang Pilipino!